One more time, please. Reading the landscape. This is something we call clear air. You want to find where your opportunities, where your profits are. If you look back in the past at to what a stock chart did the last time it crossed a certain price area, when price expands through certain prices in the past two, three, four times, when price returns to that area, chances are it will expand again according to the same length. So if price moves through large distances in a few bars, chances are it will do it again each time it comes through. One of the ways you pick out, and this is a profitability thing, trying to find where the opportunities are. Using the charting landscape, I call it get trend mirrors, to look back, what did price do the last time that it crossed this zone? Chances are it's going to do the same thing again. Clear air points to pockets of thin participation and ownership. I don't know why they're there, but they're there. When price expands through certain prices, it tends to do it over and over and over again. So if you're up here and you're looking back and going, well, what happened the last time price hit 41? You got a break of a trend line. Other points across verification tell you, I think it's going to be a good trade up here. Sell the short at 42 or 43, wherever it is. What do I expect once I sell it short? Well, look what's happened the other times it's crossed through these areas. Look how volatile things have gotten. Now, you know, you have to guard your risk. You have to manage these types of trades, high volatility trades with close risk. You have to keep a stop behind you, and you've got to be ready to get out if things start to bounce against you. But this is one way that your eyes can point to opportunity. You have an ability to predict that price is going to move down 8 points in three bars. It's done it in the past. Let's flip. We talked about the Fibonacci retracements. Somebody pulls back up to 62% of the prior trend. The trend remains intact. But if it breaks 62%, then you expect it to return to the point of inception of the last trend, of the last thrust. Your eyes will pick this out as an inverted triangle. I call it an inverted triangle on the top. Call that a first failure. Here's the last trend leg right here. This little piece right here. This line is where it breaks 62%. This is your early warning of a trend reversal. This is the first warning that you get probably in advance of the crowd that the market may be shifting out of gears, ready for a major move in the next larger time frame in the opposite direction. Now, you often get a lot of cross-verification when price breaks through 62%. It'll often break other stuff. And this doesn't illustrate it because it actually returns to the trend line on this. But you're looking for a break of that point, and as you're flipping through your stock charts to see the triangle, something your eye can pick out very, very quickly in a trend that tells you, wait a second, I don't want to be in this market. And when something breaks 62%, you don't want to be running in that market as a momentum trader. You want to start to shift strategies and be looking at a possible reversal or major reversal off of this high over here, this low over here, which is exactly what happened. Yeah.
The thing I commented to you, Paul O'Brien would be looking at that point and the volume, and I don't see any indication of the volume there that gave me a cross in indicators.
I would never look at the volume at a top.
Bigger volume spike and say it would reinforce that point there.
You see, I would never look for a volume spike right here because the trend line's still intact. Especially right through, you know, you'll see on a big reversal day, you'll see a spike of volume very often. But I believe that price is going to give you the first clue well before volume will. People tend to hold on a lot longer these days because they're so sure of themselves. I think, especially on these early warning things, I don't even use volume for them. The price pattern's telling me, giving me early warning of something that may be happening. When it happens, the volume's going to show up. My job as a trader is to be aware of something before my competition is, so that I can plan a strategy to take care of that, to take advantage of that. There are a ton of people right at this point who expect that market to go higher and take out that high at 40 or 41. There are a ton of people right here. To them, that's just a little pullback. To me, that's the start of a reversal. That one bar has told me, this trend starts in November, that one bar right here is telling me that that trend that's lasted for 2.5 months is probably over. Yeah. I try to get on the first bounce. I don't know if you can see this or not. That's a 62% retracement right here of that. Yeah, it could get, you know, there's two ways to do it, depending on your time frame. I could just set a stop for a break of the trend line, which is sort of an obvious way to do it. Because, I think we talked a little bit about it, and we'll talk about it more, using candlesticks. The candlesticks tell me the trend line's intact. To somebody else, that may look like a broken trend line. I use the shadows of the candlesticks to take out the noise of the market. Because generally, when they violate trend lines, the market will pop back above and they'll leave a shadow on candlesticks. To somebody who's just using price bars, it looks like a violated trend line here. But look at those two shadows right there. The market closed above them both times. But if I saw that, I'd probably take the first bounce out. Now, how close could I get to the top of that first bounce? It's a question. You know? How much information do I have to say, okay, I'm going to hold off for that long. I'm going to hold off for 62%. I think you have the opportunity on that first bounce, and markets correct in ABCs, 1-2-3s. Markets go up in 1-2-3-4-5s. They come down in 1-2-3s. It's a Elliott wave thing, and they tend to be in trends. There tend to be three thrusts with two congestions in between. But markets correct, they tend to come down sharply, retrace, and then come down sharply again. So if you miss an exit on a first decline, and I've traded these things long. It's not a bad long side trade for scalping, sort of a scalping or defensive trade, because you're going to get the 38%. After that market breaks down to 100% retracement, there's not much resistance between that point and the 38% point of the prior trend where it broke. That's actually a good long side trade for a short-term trade. So, I mean, my first target would probably be that. Of course, I would stick around to see if it actually made the top. That's my early warning to do something. If I'm not in it, I'm planning short sales. I'm going, okay, you got to recognize the size of the congestion. What do they call it? The bigger the move, the broader the base. You know, this is one little trend getting taken out. But is this trend getting taken out? This is one thrust, one wave getting taken out. But is this entire trend getting taken out? What it tells me is the trend is over and a sideways market's begun. And if I'm long in it, I don't want to be in a sideways market. If I'm not in it, I want to know if that sideways market's going to roll over and break down into lower prices. Okay, let's flip over. Again, ranges tend to last a lot longer than trends, and that's one of the main reasons why it's so hard to make money in the markets. Most of us want to trade trends, but the odds are against us. I've done some counts on typical trends and ranges, and I also read some research on it. Markets tend to trend about 15 to 20% of the time, and they're stuck in ranges the rest of the time, and that's through all time frames. So price bars tend to move sideways about 80% of the time. They tend to move from one level to another level 20% of the time. If you're trading a trend, what's that, like a 1 in 5 chance that you're in a trendy market when you enter a position if you haven't done any research at all. And, you could enter long or short, about 1 in 5 chance that you're entering a moving market. Using pattern cycles, you need to be able to see, again, and we mentioned this, are we in a trend? Are we in a range? If we're in a range, what point of the range are we in? Are we approaching feedback point, the feedback shift? Those points are positive feedback to negative feedback, and negative feedback to positive feedback are where we make our money. Okay. You start to see the same things over and over again. Classic negative-positive feedback move is a breakout from the apex of a symmetrical triangle. The classic example of it. You visualize that, you'll start to see it in all different other kinds of ranges, because the market never doesn't give you all that many perfectly clean, sweet, symmetrical triangles. And you know, the odds are about 50-50 as to which way it's going to break at that point. The advantage you have is knowing that it's going to break. That's your advantage as a trader. But something like a symmetrical triangle, you may not be sure what direction it's going to go. You could place entry stops on both sides of the narrow range. That's a classic strategy taught in the futures markets, where I know it's narrow here, I know it's going to break, so I'm going to put a sell stop here and a buy stop here and just take whichever way the market gives me. But use it as an archetype. I use triangles a lot as archetypes for tops, for bottoms, for ranges. What it means is if you could see how range breaks into trend on this, you could see it in any, I could take some price marks, throw them against the wall. As long as they're sideways, you'll be able to read whether or not there's an opportunity in there. You'll be able to read what point within the range you're at. Are things getting dull? Are things getting narrow? Is volume dropping? Is price moving up towards the resistance level? Is it moving down towards the support level? And is it contracting there? And when you see that, you have to choose to enter the trade if the other information supports your decision. And, you know, not in a vacuum. What you want to see is that congestion right at a point where your cross-verification is telling you that the market's going to move in your direction. Maybe that congestion's formed right at the bottom of a gap, top of a gap, formed on the top of a parallel price channel, on a trend line, lots of different situations. Okay, next slide.
Question.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Is that where you would look at the next longest periodicity to see which way it might resolve?
Okay. Can you repeat that again, please?
Sure. The previous slide, which was that nice little triangle.
Right.
Is that where you would look at the next longest
period? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But remember, even pure price is more important than the next larger trend. Yeah, you want to enter in support of the next larger trend, of course. That's a classic pullback. A pullback is a counter-trend trade. You're trading against the trend. You're buying a descending price that's returning to support. You're buying it when it's going in the wrong direction. It's a counter-trend trade. But the larger trend, which is the uptrend, is what you're being supported by. So yes, you're buying in the next larger time frame. But beyond that, price is more important than anything. What is that? It's my new computer. Hit cancel, please. It's Windows ME, and it just keeps popping up messages trying to show me videos. It's just unbelievable. God bless Microsoft. Pure price is the most important thing. Does 15 from your analysis of the charting landscape cross-verify that there's an opportunity there in the direction that you want it? Maybe, again, 15 is telling you to expect a breakout, then you see congestion at that point.
So then you'll get technical indicators like MACD and stochastic.
Yeah, but that's the point where the technical indicators fail. So you're really dependent on the price pattern at that point. You know, a broader one, right, you go back a time frame, and I do this, I trade off a 5-minute, my 60-minute chart has an MACD histogram on it. Is there momentum in the next larger time frame? Because I want to see, if I'm going long, I want to see it rising above zero and going up. Or am I getting early warning signs it's dropping down? And I will stay out of trades for that. So, yeah, you're going to use the indicators in the larger one. Remember, that's just another form of cross-verification for your trade. It all comes back to simple numericals. How many things are supporting the trade? Sometimes everything lines up. Most of the time, some stuff lines up and some stuff doesn't. And a lot of the time, nothing lines up. Now, you have to be, I'm a discretionary trader. Many of you discretionary traders, you have to jump in the pool when you think the water temperature is right. You can't, you know, you're going to adjust to the water temperature when you jump in, but you're not going to get everything lining up in your favor most of the time. You have to make an informed decision, and that means going ahead and having some things which don't pan out, that don't work out on your indicators. Wait a second. I like these four things, but this thing over here I'm not crazy about. You've got to decide to jump in or not jump in then. Don't wait for perfection, you know. It's risk. You've got to manage your risk. Regardless of what you do, the best trade in the world can turn against you. You have no choice. So you wait for as many things as you can line up, and if it looks good enough, then you've got to pull the trigger and jump into the trade. Now, that's different for different people, but The simple way to do it, very linear way, is to learn three or four or five different ways of looking at the market with the stuff thrown on top of your price bars, with the pattern cycles, and with three different charts. And when enough of it falls into place, you pull the trigger. Then if it doesn't work out, you should, when you pull the trigger, you gotta know where you're gonna be wrong and you gotta get out of the trade. It's strictly a numbers game. And it's very hard because there is no certainty. You know, we wanna be loved by everyone, we wanna be right all the time. None of this works out. It's always gonna be, you're gonna be wrong. And many professional traders are wrong more than 50% of the time. But they still make money consistently because they manage risk. Yeah. My best I know what my favorite pattern is, but I also know when it's wrong. My favorite pattern is cup and handle breakouts. I love them.
I'm going to be shooting from the easiest thing I can see.
I know. You know, I understand that. And the bottom line is your favorite patterns can't make money over time consistently if you're trading the same way. You know, I'll make money more consistently by looking at some cup and handles and deciding to sell them short because the time's right. And if you're looking for the Rosetta Stone, you're looking for the answer, quote-unquote, the pattern that works. I'm so contrary, not against the individuals who make statements like that, but to that concept, I don't believe it. I believe that patterns work for a while, and then as soon as they get popularity, they stop working. Or they work in a way that's unintended. In other words, yeah, you see, I can't find a head and shoulders that broke right in the past year anywhere. I can't. Maybe on a one-minute chart, you can find a nice, clean trend. Because they're too popular. They'll work in certain markets. You know, I see that with Seven Bell stuff, where you run through phases where these NR7s, in certain kinds of markets, they just pop, 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 pop. And other times, they just plop, 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 where they just go sideways. Cup and handle breakouts, which is one of the Seven Bells. Sometimes, just pow, pow. And other times, they just sit there and roll over. More important than the pattern you use is determining the market phase so that you can choose the right pattern to play. I like that. I believe that, too. Okay, next one.
What phase of the market are we in now?
Depends on your time frame. Listen, you know.
We're pointing out a lot of schizoid stuff.
Listen, I'm a universal type of guy here. There's over 9,000 stocks in the United States markets. How many stock exchanges are there in the world? How many time frames are there? At any given moment, there's every bull, bear, panic, euphoric bubble going on somewhere. You've got to choose your arena, which pond you're going to swim in. The pond you're swimming in is the one that's important to you. Yeah, macro. We didn't talk much about macro kind of stuff. And macro is important. What the broad market's doing is important. It does impact your positions, absolutely. I think we'll talk about that a little bit more during execution. I'm sorry if we don't get to cover in as much detail as I'd like. But that macro doesn't matter all that much to me if I'm trading off a 5-minute chart on Siena on a day that it's really hot, if I end up going long. You're picking your pond. If those macro conditions don't matter in your pond, you know, so to a fish living in the pond, the ocean don't matter. They can't feed from the ocean. They're living in the pond. Depending on what you're trading in. You know, we have my whole thing is to try to find something. It's understand the universal concepts of technical analysis. And the only way to look at that is to realize that we all have different ways of doing things. There aren't two people in this room who trade things the same way in exactly the same time frames. Does somebody have their hand up over there? Yeah. Oh, this is all part of what I want to teach, so it's okay.
Can you repeat your question?
Sure, I will do that. Okay. Yeah, let's move on. No, listen. I believe the questions are reinforcement of the concepts too. So I don't mind, and it's very hard in a long session too to try to save them all to the end because we're all going to get off on some other thought. So I don't mind in this forum that, you know, the questions that pertain to what we're doing, that we have a chance to discuss them as well, because we're all going to be, our brains are going to be somewhere else in an hour, you know. So I think that's appropriate. Finding the stages, picking your points. Of course, we all trade off of support and resistance. Support and resistance, very, very important. You have to be able to see all the different forms of support and resistance. Excuse me. Go ahead, floor, please. Yeah. This is another Raschke thing. And this support we're talking about the interface between negative feedback and positive feedback. These are price rate of change indicators, and this isn't something to trade with. This is an illustration, and it comes from Linda Raschke about how the markets line up right at a dead zone just before price begins to move. Things tend to deadline right around neutral. Even though this is an indicator, this is an illustration of why indicators don't work well. Negative feedback, positive feedback interfaces. Look how everything lines up and flattens out. One, these are like 3 through 11 price rate of change indicators. Everything flattens out just before price takes off. Okay, next, please. Putting the pieces together. We've really talked about all the pieces. First of all, we have uptrends, sideways markets, downtrends, breakdowns, bottoms. Applying Fibonacci grids over trend lengths. Now, again, after Joe being here, I know you're all experts at Fibonacci. Again, we use Fibonacci in order to look at pullbacks. We're not looking very much at momentum markets' new highs. You can do Fibonacci extensions for new highs. I'm not really interested in them. I don't think they work well for me. So I have a hard time teaching them because I don't quite get them. But you're looking at pieces of landscape lining up. Right at this point, you have a gap. You have a break of a trend line, and you have a break of the 50-day moving average. What more do you need to know with this? And here's a point you can see going back. This means that if you go back on CQ, back 1, 2, or 3 years, there was another violent price move that took place right along this level. You have gap 2, 3, 4, the 38% retracement. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different ways that are telling you that a catastrophic event has just taken place, catastrophic, a shock event has taken place at this price, and that price will not be able to return or fill that gap anytime in the near future. We've got to call this a hole in the wall. That was actually, again, one of the seven bells there. A hole in the wall represents a break in my rules, really. In this case, it really doesn't. It goes from top market to sideways market to downtrend. Hole in the wall represents a trend change in a single bar. You can get a hole in the wall right after that point right there and get a downtrend beginning right on the next price bar. The thing about hole in the walls is that you can't read about them anywhere. I haven't seen anything about them anywhere. Edwards and McGee talk about it in relation to island reversals. If there was a gap right here, and there's a little gap right here, kind of hard to see, then this whole thing would be an island reversal. The second gap in the island reversal, or a gap that comes off a counter trend high, there's very little talked about it, but it gives you tremendous information that a substantial change in trend has occurred. It also gives you great information to sell it short, but you have to be very, very early. This is using the process of cross-verification and the past activity on the chart, the past volatile interactions between the bulls and the bears, the conflict that took place, in order to identify significant events and to predict where violent events are going to take place. The next one, please. One more, I know I want to talk about before lunch, to keep on going. Okay. Here's an illustration of a break of a 62% retracement. Notice here's the trend begins, here's the top, and you use something like, in this case, a doji. You often see tops forming on those wide range bars that open and close at the same price. Very good indication when you see something like that on a very, very strong trend that's almost gone vertical, that the top's in on it. Another single bar early warning for you to use in order to make your trading decisions. As soon as you see that bar, if I saw that bar that day looking at my scans, I'd immediately put a Fibonacci grid over it to see what the landscape looked like in terms of pullbacks. I'm trying to buy bounces here when I see that. I want to know where it's going to stop falling because I expect it to fall. I could move in closer and try to, you know, a short-term short sale in there somewhere, maybe. But my interest on this chart, in the daily chart, when I see that, is to figure out if it's going to bounce at the 50%, 38%, 50%, or 62% retracement. And this chart's a real good example of why it pays to be late. Yeah, you do get the usual. Remember I said we talked about the 1, 2, 3 corrections? After you get that first bounce and you've missed it, I could trade something like that, perhaps, very short term. There's not much there, but I could trade it defensively. What I'm waiting for then is for this entire correction to work out. And I know from my Fibonacci study that it should work out at the 62% level. So after that first bounce, I'm waiting and wanting to know what price is going to do when it gets down to the mid-40s. Now, I have a lot of other information to work with that's supporting my trade. Number one, I've got a former high that's sitting here, another high that's sitting here, and this whole thing is forms a little sort of ascending triangle or double top or actually cup and handle breakout. See that? So I love cup and handle breakouts. Price routinely will be supported on pullbacks to support, pullbacks to prior ranges, and price consistently returns to test prior ranges. Consistently pulls back. We're talking about that. At the same point, 62% is also the 50-day moving average, which is a classic intermediate retracement point, a classic intermediate pullback point for trends. So we have the 62% moving average, the pullback to the prior trend, and the 50%, 62% pullback to the prior highs, all at the same point. Now, me personally, I'd enter blind on that bar if I had a fairly long time frame, maybe about 1 to 3 week time frame, or even a 1 to 3 day time frame. I'd enter it blindly, and I do it on intraday charts when I see something like that. You can get hurt doing it. But when I see that much going on, I've built confidence, I've improved the odds that a reversal is going to take place that's not going to exceed my risk tolerance. Now, how do I get out? Am I when I get into this trade, am I looking for new highs? Never. I'm looking to catch a few bars, looking for the first loss of momentum, and I'm watching the chart in real time, or even at the end of the day. I'm looking for the first black bar and then get out of the thing. I just want to take a couple bars on it. And you know, you talk about, what's it, a five-day trade if you're stuck around. You have some real problems right in here on this reversal day. But there was nothing standing in your way for 2 days if you took that trade because it closed consistently, closed at near its high 2 days in a row. But to me, it's a bounce trade. I'm not looking at it to try to take the stock to new highs. I'm looking for a profit. Next, please. Oh, I love this. You talk about support resistance, and somebody during the break was saying, well, don't you just buy at support and sell at resistance? And the answer is yeah. The problem is there's so many forms of support resistance that folks don't realize exist that you miss opportunities and that price bounces at points that you don't understand. One of the classic forms of support resistance that's very poorly understood are market numbers. Market numbers are whole numbers or derivatives of whole numbers the market tends to bounce. Classic ones are Dow 10,000, market number. Everything focuses on that number, support and resistance swivels off of it. Stock going up to 100 for the first time. Classic market number. 100's resistance. I was just watching, trying to remember the stock I was watching 2 or 3 days ago. It was trading 99, 99, 99, 101, back to 99, 99, 99, 100, back to 98, back to 100, closes right, 116. Market swivels off of market numbers in all time frames. Scalpers even use whole market numbers, off of whole numbers in liquid markets. Stock goes up to 32, trades up to 32 and a 16th, 32 and 8th, drops back to 31 and 3/16ths, pops back above 32, swivels back and forth over that whole number. This is a classic example of whole numbers forming. Actually, it's not a very good example. No, it is. Is it? I'll give you a better example later. Okay, let's pass on. I don't like that example. Back up, because that's for next hour, okay? You want to back up one? Okay. As we complete our analysis, we have to start to build a strategy. We haven't really talked about strategy, and we're going to talk about that after lunch. The problem is that many great technical analysts make lousy traders. Many people who see the market well can't execute well. Many folks who everything lines up the night before, the next day, they lose it all because they're not conditioned to be traders in their brains, in their hearts, in their minds. Most traders will fail due to a lack of discipline, not a lack of knowledge. We spent the morning talking about knowledge-based things. We're going to spend the afternoon talking about execution and discipline-based things. To me, personally, discipline's always been much more difficult than knowledge. Knowledge comes easy. I understand this stuff inside and out. My results depend on how well I execute, how well I apply what I see and what I know. The knowledge part of the game is the easier side of the game. Now, we're not going to get heavily into the psychological aspects of why we're bad people and we don't deserve to have good things happen to us. We'll get into that a little bit. But other people do a little bit better job of that than me. But we will talk about the need to apply what you know. And I want to give everybody the opportunity when we come back to go over any of the things from the first half, concepts they think about over lunch, because I've thrown so much at you, and some of the stuff is very common to you, and some of the stuff doesn't fit in right, and I may not have done the best job in the world in explaining certain things. So please take the opportunity to ask me about any of this knowledge side of the equation when we come back after lunch, so we can clarify those things and get on to the process of execution.